want you to take your Bible, please. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. We'll continue with our word study that I started several weeks ago on Wednesday night on the words, He is able, or God is able, Christ is able. And I'm glad tonight He's able to do anything He wants to do. And He has strength. Makes no difference what you need. The Lord is able to meet that need. And that's the truth. And I'm glad tonight I believe that. I don't always act like I believe it, but I believe it in my heart. And I'm glad our God is able to help us no matter what we're going through. Whether we're on the mountaintop, He's able to keep us there. If we're in the valley, He's able to see us through it. It doesn't matter what it is. God's able tonight. We need to glorify His name and praise His name. You know, I don't want us to take for granted when we feel the sweet presence of Jesus Christ at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The Holy Spirit will visit where He is welcome. And we had a great day Sunday, and we want this to be a church where we feel the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And one way we do that is we just get in the habit of glorifying God, praising His name, thinking about His goodness to us, and from our heart, not for a show, but from our heart, giving glory and honor to God. Because where we praise Him, He inhabits the praises of His people. And He draws a little bit closer. And I'm telling you, it's exciting when the Lord shows up in a place. And I love it to have His presence here at Buffalo Ridge. My, don't ever let us take it for granted. And may we pray that God will help us to be right and not to hinder Him and not to limit Him. I want the floodgates to open up at Buffalo Ridge, and I want God to have His way here. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the church. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're majoring on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we do what we do. By the way, what I'm doing is preaching before I get to my text here a little bit. But what I'm saying to you here tonight is, you know, whenever you're out to please the Lord, it settles everything in life. It really does. And you know what else it does for you? I didn't have this planned. But you know what else it does for you? It simplifies life. When you are out to please God, you're not going to care what that person thinks about you. You're not going to care what he says, she does, or he does. You're just going to say, Lord, help me to please you. And I'm glad the God we serve is worthy of our honor, and He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy tonight, and I'm glad our God is able to do what He wants to do. Philippians chapter 3, wait for me there. Let's pray together. Father, help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the Word of God, we see the Lord God of heaven is put on display for us to see. As a matter of fact, He's on every page. He's in every chapter. Sometimes you have to look for Him a little bit harder than others. But the Word of God is a progressive, if you will, revelation of our God and His greatness and goodness and faithfulness, His mercy, all these kind of things that we could stand here and mention and go on and on and on about. As a matter of fact, if we did a series on the attributes of God, it's a lifelong study. There's no doubt about that. Everything about God tells you something about Him, His faithfulness, His goodness, His justice, whatever. But in this particular word study on Wednesday nights that we've been dealing with for several Wednesday nights now, we've been looking at His attribute, His quality, His characteristic, if you will, of His ability, His power. And I'm glad He's able to do what He says He can do. Now, we looked at, first of all, in 2 Chronicles 25, that He's able to give thee much more than this. In a nutshell, whenever we do something for God, and it may cost us something, in context, He's saying that He is able to give you much more than you'll ever give up for Him. Secondly, we notice that in Daniel chapter 3, that He's able to deliver us, and how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, but they went on to say, but if not, we're still not going to bow down and worship your false God. And yet He cast three in, and the king stood up and said, did I not cast three in, but lo, I see four, and the fourth has the form of the Son of God. And He's able to deliver us from fiery trials. Number three, we notice that He's able to abase those who are exalted. That means if you're puffed up with pride, Nebuchadnezzar said he's able to abase you, to humble you. Fourthly, we notice he's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fifth, we notice he's able to, of these stones, raise up children. In other words, he's not impressed with your lineage and your ancestry does not automatically give you the favor of God on your life. Then we notice that what he says he will do, he is able in Romans 4 to perform. In other words, he's going to keep his word. Romans chapter 11, we notice that he's able to graft them in again. Romans chapter 14, he's able to make him stand. Then we left off, two more. Number 9, he's able in 2 Corinthians 9 to make all grace abound towards you. Then number 10, which is the last one that we dealt with, not all in one service, but the last one we dealt with, was he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now you're in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse number 20, and we come to point number 11 under this Bible word study on He is able. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Somebody say amen right there, I'm telling you. According to the working whereby, here it is now, He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He is able, number 11, to subdue all things unto Himself. Now in context, he's talking about death, hell, Satan, and our vile bodies. Now what this means is this. It means that the bodies of our... tonight what I'm looking at is the context. Now it says all things, and that's what he means, but in context, I'm giving you the context. He's speaking here that the bodies of true believers shall be raised up in the same likeness, in the same immortality, in the same glory of the glorified body of Jesus Christ. Now, what this means is he's saying in verse number 21, He will change our vile body. He will give us a glorified body. And the reason He will do this is because He is able to subdue all things, including death, hell, the curse of sin, Satan, and everything else. He's able to subdue it unto Himself. Now, I'm telling you, that right there is exciting. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. I know it's a Bible study, but I'm getting riled up tonight. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 1 John 3, 1 and 2, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and beginning with verse number 25, here's what it says. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy, by the way, put all under His feet, that means subdue. It's talking right here, the last enemy that shall be destroyed or subdued unto Himself is death. For He hath put all things under His feet, but when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued, there it is, unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Yet in verse number 35, a lot of reading here, but it's okay because this is powerful, powerful reading. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? That, by the way, if you've had a departed loved one, pay close attention tonight. Hey, if you're a Christian, pay close attention tonight. Here's what it says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Now listen to this. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It, the body, is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. This is blessing my heart right here. It says right here, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, the Lord Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Right here, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Our God is able tonight to subdue all things under himself, including death and the curse of sin. Therefore, we as God's children have the assurance that we're going to have a glorified body some wonderful day. What a powerful thought tonight. He's able to subdue all things unto himself. Then you turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's notice the 12th time this is used. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I don't know about you, but I start getting excited when I think that I'm not going to be stuck in this for all eternity. Amen. Now I'm 32 years old, but I've got creaks, and I'm talking. Listen to me. This knee right here, that's popping and cracking everywhere. I'm talking about, I've had 3 surgeries on it. Preacher, your knee's been totally replaced. I'm glad that that's not the final product. I know what you're thinking tonight. Thank God that's not the final product for you either, Jody. But what I'm saying to you this evening is that someday I'm going to have a body like Jesus Christ. God has promised it, and the only reason he can promise that is because he's able to subdue all things unto himself, including death, hell, Satan, the curse of sin. Makes no difference. Our God's able to bring it all under his feet, and he's able to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Amen. Man, that's exciting right there. Now we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I didn't mean to preach that point again, but I hope you don't mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Let's back up to verse 11. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded, here it is, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He is able, number 12, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now in context, Paul is referring to the salvation of his soul.
Now we know his salvation was in the person of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. We know elsewhere in Scripture that it was by faith in Jesus Christ, John 3:16, 3:36, Romans 9 and 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10, on and on. We do know that salvation is a once for all, never to be repeated again, act. It's in the perfect tense. You know what that means? It means it's completed in the past, once and for all, not needing to be repeated ever again. Amen. Praise God for that right there. Hallelujah. Yeah. That right there tells you that you are safe in Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying, he's saying this. He's saying for this cause, he says, I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. I'm a Christian and I am persuaded that what I've committed to him, he's able to keep it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm glad I'm not keeping myself. I'm glad that my God is able to keep me saved. You know, the bottom line is our salvation is only as secure as God's power to keep it is. You know what I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad I don't keep myself saved. By the way, what a stench in Almighty God's nostrils to try to say you don't do anything to get it, but you have to do something to keep it. Wait a minute. If we don't have power to bring it about, how in the world will we have power to keep it in? I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad that I am not living in dependence of me. I'm glad my salvation does not depend on if I endure. I'm glad of that tonight. Now that doesn't mean that I can go out and live any way I want to. Because if you're truly a Christian, he'll wear you out. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, read it for yourself. And I'm telling you, you cannot live any way you want to if you're a Christian. But if you're a Christian, you will never be a non-believer ever again. Amen. I'm talking about lost on your way to hell. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. By the way, who keeps a person saved? Who? God does, right? Jesus Christ, God, the Lord. What does Luke 1:37 say? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:4, hey, what's your salvation based on? I'm talking about not the obtaining of it, but the keeping of it. I'm talking about your security. How do you know you're going to go to heaven? Because of the power of God. How powerful is he? Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Child of God, rest in the fact that God is able to keep you. Amen. I'm saying it all the time. That's a powerful thought. The whole word of God's powerful. But that is something that you know what it ought to do? If you know you're saved tonight, it ought to be, praise God. Amen. You know what that does when you really get a grasp that your salvation is not dependent on what you do, but what he did? You know what that does when that really grips your heart and soul and you understand that you are born again, not of anything that you've done and not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. You have trusted Christ as your Savior. You realize it was nothing of you, it was all of him. And now he's keeping you by his power. When you realize that you are safe, it frees you like a bird. It really does. And by the way, when you really grasp that, you will not want to go out and do your own thing. You will want to serve him as much as you possibly can. The word of God teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Listen to this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The word of God teaches us clearly that when he saves us, he preserves us in Christ Jesus. That means he places you into Christ. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that he seals you with the Spirit of God. And then the Bible teaches in 1 Peter 1, he keeps you by his power. Have y'all ever preserved anything? Would you raise your hand? You know what preservatives are, right? What did you do? Were there any power in the preservatives? Let's just say that you were going to can tomatoes or maters. Did you take the jar and put it here and the tomato over here and say, okay now, tomato, on the count of three, you start running as hard as you can and jump as high as you can and I'll help you get in there. No, there's no power in that tomato. It's not possible for a tomato to do that. You listening? For you to preserve what you preserved, it means somebody from the outside took it in their power and put it inside and sealed it and set it up to be kept until they come back to get it. Amen. You know what happened when you got saved? God the Father took you by his power and he placed you in Christ and he sealed you with his Spirit and he's keeping you in his power until he comes back to get you. And when he comes back to get you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to show you off. He's going to give you a glorified body because he's able to subdue all things into himself. And he's going to say, look what my mighty power has done. I'm telling you, folks. If that doesn't excite you, your exciter's broken. He's able, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I am going to make it to heaven because God is able to keep me. Amen. Amen. Now, let me give you one more tonight. I was hoping I could get to this, and I've gotten to it. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. I'm going to give you point number 13. Aren't you glad I did this in a series? I'm on 13. What a word study this is. Powerful word study. Look at Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I'm going on there. I could talk about Calvinism there a little bit, but I'm not going to do that here. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. By the way, let me just pause and say this. Isn't this something that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved tonight, he is not ashamed to say, they're family. That's a blessing right there. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again behold I and the children which God hath given me. And notice verse number 14 and following. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, if you will, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Aren't you glad he took on him the seed of Abraham? Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now notice verse 18 closely. Here's point number 13. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able, number 13, to succor them that are tempted. Now the word succor here means to aid, relieve, or help.
Now I want to give you a powerful word right here. You see the word suffered? You know what that word means? In the tense, now get this, powerful. That's my key word, it seems like, from the pulpit. I'm telling you, you preach the word of God, it's powerful. The tense that this word suffered is given in shows the following. Here's what it shows. It shows that the temptation Christ suffered in the flesh is in the past. He suffered. You see what I'm saying? It's in the past. Yet its effect is permanent. This is all in this word. Now get this. The effect of compassion and understanding as he aids us in the hour of our temptation. Now, did you get what I just said? In that word suffered, the tense that it's given in the Greek language, I don't refer to the original language much, but the original language every now and then brings out a nugget of gold. And in that word suffered, it's in the past tense. But it's given in such a way that while this is being written, it's already happened. But the effects, what effects? His love and his understanding, even though he suffered it many years ago, he still understands and he still loves you. That's in that word. And what he's saying right here is that while he was on earth, he was tempted. He did not just arrive in the world and turn around and die. The Word of God tells in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 that he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He wanted to be a merciful and a faithful and a sympathetic high priest. Get this, he got hungry. He got thirsty. He was overcome with tiredness. He slept. He grew. He loved. He was astonished. He marveled. He was glad. He was angry at times. He was grieved. He was troubled. He was overcome at times by future events. He exercised faith. He read scripture. He prayed all night. He sighed in his heart when he saw another man in illness. Tears fell from his holy eyes when his heart ached. He felt everything you'll ever feel. But he felt it to a degree that one who never gives in to temptation feels. For instance, he felt temptation to its extreme on every occasion. The reason I say this is because most of us never know what degree temptation can go to, because many times we succumb before it's reached its fullest peak. You understand what I just said? You ever succumbed to a temptation? You ever given in to a temptation? But when you gave in to it, it stopped. I'm not talking about the desire. What I'm talking about is its power to try to overcome you and try to get you to give in. That stopped because you failed. Christ never failed. Which means that every temptation that was thrown at him, he failed it to the most degree. Because he never succumbed to a temptation. And that tells me that there is never anything I can ever feel that he's not felt worse. He's been there. He knows. He understands. He suffered. And now that he suffered being tempted, now he is able to help, to aid, to relieve those who are being tempted. Powerful thought. I'm telling you here that the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, you're right there, and look at verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, to succor, to aid, to relieve in time of need. Oh, this tells you a little bit about our God. How much He loves me. How much He loves you. He came to this earth and He bled and He died and He was given so many temptations. And yet He didn't succumb to any of them. He was without sin. But now He can get up and say He wanted to be a faithful high priest. And He was a faithful high priest. He wanted that when you came to Him, He can honestly look at you and say, I understand. I've been there, sweetheart. I know what you're feeling. I've had my heart break. I've had tears come out of my eyes. I understand it. And because of that, He says in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain grace and find help in time of need. This verse here in our 13th point is simply telling us that whatever temptation you're going through, by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be a temptation to do evil. It could be a temptation just to respond in an evil way. Not responding in a way that God would have you to respond to something. And somebody can come to me and say this, 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 and this. But when you go to God, the Bible is teaching us here that because He took on the seed of Abraham, because He became a man, He did it. Yes, He did it to die for our sins. But the Word of God teaches us also that He did it so He understands. He's been there too. What are you going through tonight? You say, Jody, my heart's been ripped out of my chest. And I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, I could look at you and say, depending on what the situation is, it's possible that you could come to me or go to your Sunday school teacher or something like that or a friend, and they would have to look at you and say, you know, I'll pray for you, but I can't say I understand. You understand that there's one you can go to anytime, day or night, and whatever it is that you're dealing with, He'll look at you and He'll say, I suffered too. I was there. I understand. But you know the great thing about Him? Is that He only understands. He's able to help you. Who would not want to serve God? Who would not want to serve Him? How good has He been to us? You know, He didn't have to come, but He did. He could have made it to where He didn't have to be tempted. Just come and die. That would have been enough right there anyway, wouldn't it? Amen. Would not have been enough if He just come and died and that's it? Was buried and rose again, that would have been enough. But yet, He wanted to come and He wanted to walk through all of that so He could say, I've been there. Honestly, I don't even know how to end this. I'm standing in awe of God. That puts me in awe that He came so that no matter what I go to Him with, He can say, I know. Man. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Yes. That's all I know to say. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Praise. Let's sing us together, shall we? Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give bow, shall we? They're making their ways to the instruments if they don't mind to do that. Our Father, help us. Encourage us now, I pray. Help those who need this message to take it and understand what you're saying. Help us all, Lord, to take this home, these powerful thoughts. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they're getting prepared there, they're going to play through. There may be one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe there's never been a time in your life when you've realized you're a sinner and Jesus died for you. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart and forgive your sin and ask Him to save your soul. Maybe tonight somebody's dealing with just letting the Lord speak to them as far as, well, they're saved. You know you're saved. But you've been struggling with your assurance. You've been struggling with your security. Maybe you just need to let go and say, God, I understand. Your word teaches that you keep me. Help me just to trust you. Well, maybe tonight, maybe your body's hurting. Maybe your body's aching. Maybe you've lost some of your sight or some of the feeling in your right leg or your left leg, or your hips aren't working right, or your body's aching and just not what it used to be. You know what I mean? Maybe God is speaking to your heart about keep your eyes upon the sky and how when He comes, He's going to give you a new body. No more aches. No more limitations. Finances. It could be that the devil's waving something that looks good in front of you, but you know it's not right. See, temptation is not just something that's necessarily evil. It can be something that's evil if you respond wrong to it. Maybe tonight you know in your heart that there's times in your life when you feel like nobody knows and nobody really understands. May I say this to you? There may not be another human being that does understand completely. But we have a faithful high priest tonight. And because he was tempted, he's able to succor, relieve, aid, help those who are tempted. Maybe you need to come and ask him to give you some of that help. Let him speak peace to your heart. Let him whisper to your soul, dear child, I do know and I do understand. Lean on me and I'll help you through. Whatever it is, may the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take the simple thoughts and use them. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If you're lost and need a Savior, if you need to come and just rejoice in the Lord with His salvation in your life, if you need to come and get some of that help, you're being tempted, whatever it is. Maybe your body's not what it ought to be. It should be what it once was. God's encouraging you with a glorified body that awaits you. Why don't you come? As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, leave your place and come. Would you come now? Heart. God knows my heart. I'm not trying to do that. During a time some of you are struggling. Some of you lost a mate this year. It's been very difficult on you. Some of you lost a mate, not this year, but you're still dealing with it. By the way, if you still have your mate, praise God for them. You still have your children, reach out and hug them one more time. It's amazing. Preacher, I'm learning how God gives a leader a heart for his people. The under shepherd. God has given me such a burden for you. But I'm a human being, I have limitations. And I can't help but think that if he breaks my heart for you, how must his heart break for you too? He's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that can succor you. Doesn't matter if your heart's broken, it's mended, if it feels like it's just ripped completely out of your chest.